Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world.
This is Lynn, the mystic healer. I have two wonderful guests with me today. We have Rich Presida, a constitutional lawyer with Bible Studies for Progressives podcast. And then also two today, Frank Pikarski's here. So what do you have to say, Rich, on all that? About the propaganda being used to really fester and keep this tyranny going. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so I wanted to say that I write for laprogressive.com, and Modern Lectionaries is my old blog, and of course I have Bible Study for Progressives. And as a part of Bible Study for Progressives, I'm teaming up with OC Thinkers, which is a critical thinking group. We're having a webinar meeting. It's really a group discussion on resisting authoritarian structures in politics and organizing. And it's based on my recent article at LA Progressive. And then, and we're going to have Lisa Snow with us. She's a media psychology specialist, and she knows a lot about propaganda. And she's focused a lot on the right-wing propaganda. And I'm focused on all of the propaganda that we have coming out right now. There's a lot of narratives coming out right now, but what I'm focusing on is the global rise of authoritarianism. I think we need to look at the political situation from a global perspective to get a more accurate understanding of what's going on. Because a lot of what's coming out right now is this idea that, oh, this is a racist country, we have a racist president, we have structural racism, we have police killing black and brown people on the streets, and somehow this is all about racism. We've had this racist problem before Trump, we'll have it after Trump, as if Trump were not really that important. But the fact is, we may have a lot of the police beating up people and killing people. That's been going on for a while, and we need to address that. But we don't have the white supremacists marching in the streets en masse. We don't have this huge division unless we have Trump as president spreading racist dogma and divisive propaganda to try and stoke and stir up racial animosities and bring it out. And this is because he's part of a larger worldwide trend, let's say, or worldwide. Well, what happened was is that there's this struggle between authoritarianism and democracy that has gone on throughout human history from the ancient times to present. Democracy is barely a little more than 2 to 3 centuries old, maybe 250 years old. That's a short period of time in human history. And it is now facing a crisis. The very people who promote democracy, who say they're supporting democracy, the United States, are actively thwarting it in countries across the world. And when that happens, democracy will fail. Democracy has no chance when governments who say they are supporting democratic rights and human and civil rights are actually not doing it, that creates a crisis for democracy. We lost democracy in Egypt. That's my big thing, a huge failure of the Arab Spring. We didn't come out with stable democracies. I think there may have been one. Libya still working on it, but we lost democracy in Egypt. That was a terrible failure of United States foreign policy. It emboldened dictators around the world who are looking for a way to get rid of democracy, human and civil rights, because those are what are being used against them in the international arena, and they want to put an end to that. And we, as the people, have to stand up and fight back against that. Now, Trump is a part of that movement. He came into power with Duterte in the Philippines, with Bolsonaro in Brazil, and then we have a bunch of other authoritarians who have risen up in Turkey, which was moving democratic and now is moving towards authoritarianism. And so this is the struggle that we're facing. And so when we look at it from the global perspective, then we can see that this race card game, this stoking racism and bigotry and xenophobia and anti-Semitism, depending on what country you're in, is a game plan. It's not that all of a sudden America, the United States, has become somehow racist, that we somehow have backslidden, as much as it is that it's been stoked and promoted and stirred up by the right-wing media and those authoritarian leaders who want to end the democratic experience. Democracies are more stable, some of the social democracies, but even in Europe, we're seeing the rise of racism and anti-Semitism and to try and tear down those democracies. And then the Brexit thing was another effort by right-wing media sources, and corporate and big money just want to put an end to this call for equality, put an end to these equal rights, put an end to respect for human and civil rights, and put them on top. And what we're seeing now is the old saying that when they came for the Jews, I didn't say anything because I wasn't Jewish. Now they're coming for us. And that's inevitable because it's a global economy. And it's no longer we're going to nation against nation. It's the elite against the rest of us. And they're out to take over the world, basically, before it gets destroyed. I mean, eventually, we're going to destroy the environment, and how long we have left is a question mark. But I think that's where we're at, seeing this from a global perspective and understanding that it's not just all about somehow racism. It's not. This is race. These are issues that have been stirred up. And then now we have some anti-racist ideology out there that I think is going to be short-lived, because it tends to be political dogma that wants to suppress certain people and elevate others. And I don't. While elevating people is great, suppressing them is not. So that's another huge issue, which is very difficult to deal with. But it's the narrative that's coming out of this. What narrative is really controlling the situation? So what we need to do, I think, I've been doing anti-propaganda work.
Because I don't think people really realize, like, the list of hate that against just straight out left. Like, I've never heard so much hatred come out of a president for, you know, one whole party side, which he used to be part of. It's just weird, isn't it?
But they're spreading anti-liberal propaganda, and that happens on the left too. We've got a lot of anti-Christian, anti-liberal they call it neoliberal. So we have this type of attack on people on the left, but it is very strong. They've demonized liberals, demonized Democrats to the extent that they don't really, we can't communicate with one another anymore. They're not really thinking. And that's the part of propaganda.
Pitting us against each other. The more they can divide and separate, it's all part of Putin's big plan, you know, I think.
I agree with you.
Divide and separate us and belittle us, you know, and our minorities in such a way that we don't get along and there's no unity. Because let's face it, unity is what Big Pharma and the corporatocracies are afraid of. Us being united against being pushed around by this huge military complex that build all these weaponry and all these bombs and stuff. I mean,
biological warfare, robotic warfare, you know, biological warfare tied to all the vaccination farms, you know, and then they've got all the transhuman super soldier money, and then they've got the nuclear weapon, you know, more, 16 more nuclear, go to nuclearplanet.com.
I just think there needs to be more accountability in these programs that we've just taken for granted that they're going to do good with what the funds that they have, and they've gone in some pretty dark directions as far as I can see and as far as I hear.
Yeah, I think Putin is at the center of this. He's probably one of the main authoritarian leaders who is driving this. And I think this election is so pivotal. I didn't say that right, but...
Yeah, it really is. Because I don't think people realize that as long as the violence is happening in the streets, right, and this... you know, they're trying to stop the violence by overpowering with actually more threatening kind of power plays.
Are either of you guys in the Portland area?
I live right in Portland, born and raised there.
Oh, so how's it going out there? I mean,
it's been wild. You know, I can't condone, you know, destruction and burning and the graffiti, but I can also side with how minorities aren't treated fairly.
Yeah. So there was some graffiti and some vandalism during the protest, as there often is.
Well, what we first saw in the beginning was pretty peaceful protests and stuff. And then as it got later at night, you know, these guys were coming in there with these blacked-out suits, blacked-out, you know, face masks and stuff, you know, all pretty much causing the trouble in the beginning, busting the windows and really getting things inflamed. And there's a lot of footage, and they're going through the footage. They'll find out who did that.
They really like to have violence. They're very involved with violence. They like...
Right. So a lot of this violence that comes up in the graffiti and the vandalism, and this is all influenced by propaganda, of course.
Yeah.
The idea that democracy has... Or not democracy, but nonviolence doesn't work. So we have to go back to violence, but... Violence is not a new strategy. It's an old strategy. But as far as the moving into Portland, the calling federal troops or federal forces into Portland, well, there is a need to protect federal buildings. We know that. And this type of vandalism, and it's not really violent in the sense, but in another sense, you're taking over a movement and you're messing up its message. Don't do that. Be nonviolent.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what I've seen now, I have, you know, in the last 10 years, I've had over 10 girls live at my house with my daughters. And as long as they went through school and didn't bring home drugs or alcohol and got good grades, they could live at my house. Well, they all got jobs and moved out, and, you know, some of them go down these protests, and what they were telling me is a lot of these radical people that are showing up are causing to lighten the fires, and they're activists from out of state. They're not these loving, I mean, we have a very loving, caring bunch of people in Portland, you know, and, you know, I applaud them. But,
pay them. You got to pay them.
The thing is that all these, you know, all these other ones come in and they cause this. Usually after 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, later at night is when, you know, these bad things happen. And I just came down here a couple days ago, but it's been pretty radical.
With the troops, and then they're being turned and used against our own citizens. Of course, those troops that Trump selected were handpicked by him to be his henchmen. And they went out there. Now, yes, there's problems in Portland. Yes, there's problems with these protests. They're to be expected. But the city of Portland didn't need them. And I want to remind you that he threatened to send troops to all the cities that weren't quelling the protest went at the very beginning of this. And there has not been a threat that he has not attempted to carry out. And he just made a more recent threat to delay the election. Now, we can sort of say that's not going to happen and hope it doesn't happen. But that doesn't mean that Trump, if he's given the opportunity, he's going to do that. And are we going to have troops in the streets in Democratic cities in November when we're having an election? And so what I'm doing, so it's very important for us to get out the vote and make sure we get this president out of power, because he's under the thumb of foreign interferers like Putin.
Yeah, I know.
And he's not a Democrat.
It's all part of Putin's plan, putting us against each other.
Yeah.
You know, pitting us against each other. It's all propaganda, like you say, and it's got to be nipped in the bud.
Rich Presida, thank you so much for being on the talk show. So would you give him your contact info, please?
Yes. So I'm trying to start a Progressive Democrats of America group in East Los Angeles County. And so if you live in the Los Angeles area, around East Los Angeles County, it doesn't even matter if you live in that area, because we don't exclude people. But
and also too, you're on Facebook, right?
I'm on Facebook, my podcast, Bible Study for Progressives, and I write for laprogressive.com, named Rich
Presida. He's a constitutional lawyer, everyone. Okay. Anyway, love you all so much. Time's up for today. Thank you, Rich, for all you're doing. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Blessings to everyone out there. Thank you, Frank, for being on the show today.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Presida. Thank you for listening.